Yeah, thank you, Lord. There's no one like you. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high? Nothing compares to you, Lord. We just give you all the glory and all the honour on all of our life tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, you're so worthy to be praised. We thank you for all that you've done for us on this day. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yo, take your seats. So, just so we know, who's finishing A61? Is anybody not finishing A61? Okay, just because I know people that start at different times. Oh, you start September. Okay, so you'll be carrying on. Okay. Yeah. When did you start, Jenny? Okay, right, okay. Brilliant. Okay, yeah, and who's got the 25th wedding anniversary today? Santa and Stefan. And Santa and Stefan, 25th wedding anniversary today. And it's your birthday tomorrow. And you came here. Isn't that gorgeous? So we'll particularly pray for you, Stefan. We'll pray for you both at the end. That'd be lovely. See, you, all places you could have gone, and you came here tonight. So we'll pray for you. Awesome. And what we'll do at the end is we want to pray for everybody that's finishing A61 or continuing A61. Are you filming me? Okay. Thanks. So, is that a natural one? Okay. So, so we've got, well done for getting to the end. Yay. And, we're changing some things about A61 we've been praying about. And this is just so you two know what's happening. And so we're not going to have mentoring and we're not going to have small group leaders. So we've got... We're sort of reducing it to a smaller team of predominantly myself and Marion and Sharon and Darren. So those of you that helped on small groups and stuff, thank you. It's a big commitment to do it for a year. And all the mentoring and stuff you've done, thank you for doing that. That's absolutely brilliant. Okay, so I'm just going to do a shortish talk on grace, and then we're going to pray, have a little activation and pray for people and stuff, which is why Martino's here tonight with his new jumper from The Range. Not the shooting range. Okay. Just The Range. It's going to be one of those nights, isn't it? Well, do you know what? when Marion buys me something, some clothes, instead of saying, I bought you a nice shirt, she says, holds it up and says, $2.99. Poverty mentality. I know, yeah. I used to buy Marion flowers and bring them, and she'd go, how much were them? So I used to have to leave the price on to show that they were good. Oh, yeah. That was before Route 61. I can't find my place now. Where was I up to? Oh, there it is. Yeah. So I just want to talk a little bit about grace. And as we've been doing this month and thinking about grace and reading about grace, I kind of realise it's one of those things that I think I need to know more about it. I think I know sort of lots of things about, you know, redemption and justification and sanctification, those, you know, things. But actually I thought, grace, I need to understand this more. I need to get more of this. And I think it's because it's one of those things that you can get more of. Do you know what I mean? So you're saved, aren't you? You're sanctified, you're justified, redeemed, whatever. But the grace bit can increases all the more. And I know there's sanctification, increased sanctification, but with grace, I think it's more of an understanding of what it is to walk in it completely. And, you know, I was thinking about this, it's the grace of God towards us is outrageous. It's expanding and it's godly. So it's not, we don't grasp it immediately. It's something we've got to try and get our head around because it's so much to do with God's love for us and what he's like. I don't know about you, but it's the immediate grasping of it is something we need. We need more of a revelation of it. to understand exactly what it means from God's perspective. In John Bunyan's book, Grace Abounding, on the front it says, you know, in sort of oldish English, it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In Romans 20, it says that. And it says this, the first part of it in the NIV says, the law was added so that the trespass might increase. So the law wasn't pointing towards redemption. The law was showing the need for redemption. The law was pointing out our sins. So if there's no rules, there's nothing to break, is there? If there's no rules, you're not breaking any rules, are you? But when rules come in, when laws come into place, it shows where sin is. So the law sort of casts a light on sin, because it sets us up against what God's holiness is. So the law's in place to show us, if you like, almost how unholy, ungodly we are. But, it says, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. You know, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. This idea that, you know, that God saved us and brought grace to us, and it just keeps increasing. It's like a good yeast added in. And let me just read to you from Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. It teaches us. It doesn't command us. So teaching is, you know, it's like an ongoing thing. It teaches us, this grace has more to say to us, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. So grace, you know, so grace isn't you can do what you like. Grace is teaching you, teaching us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives. So sometimes, you know, there was some of the mistakes, particularly in the Corinthian church, was that they thought, oh, forgiveness, grace, we can do what we like. But actually, this scripture very clearly speaks against that. And teaches us to live, to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us, to buy us out from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people at his very own, eager to do what is good. Amazing grace. I mean, grace is alive. It needs expression. I was praying about this today, and God gave me this little picture, funny little picture. I hope this works. If you close your eyes, I'll just explain it to you. This is what I felt God showed me today, thinking about this difference between law and grace, and that grace is alive and needs expression. And I felt God showed me this picture of a bird, a small bird, in a hedgerow. And the sun is shining on the hedgerow, and it's really, really warm. And it's the sort of beginning of spring, so it's the warmth, it's the first sort of sun of spring. Everything's blossoming, coming out. This hedge is on the edge of a field, which is luscious, and it's peaceful, and it's away from all busyness. And in this little hedgerow, this little bird is sitting, and it can feel the sun on itself, and it sort of puffs up its little feathers. It's a tiny, delicate little thing created by God. It puffs up its feathers and feels the heat of the sun touching it. It's totally content. Everything it needs to live is in that hedgerow. There's stuff to eat. There's dew on the leaves in the hedgerow, and it can fly around and it's totally content. On the other side of the hedgerow, there's a man standing. It's a tall hedge, so he hasn't got the sun on him, because the sun is blocked by the hedge. So he's a bit cold. He's chained hand and feet. And he's facing into this field on his side, a gallows. And they're building a gallows. And he's just waiting for this gallows to be finished. And when it's finished, He's going to be executed. And in front of him, about 20 metres from where he stands to the gallows, and on the path in front of him are written all his sins. And when the gallows is finished being built, he has to walk on the path of his sins up onto the gallows for execution. And I'm thinking, Lord, what is this? And it was just like that. Law, this funny little thing, law is death row and grace is hedgerow. And they're completely different. They're not even like, it's not that one, the picture of one thing, you can open your eyes now just in case you fall asleep while I'm speaking. It's not like one is an opposite of the other. They have nothing similar at all. They're completely different. And when we live under the law, we can live like that. We can live like we're not quite making it. We're not quite good enough. And, you know, under the law, that is true. But on the other side, it's a grace that is beyond understanding, that it's, you know, and Jesus, doesn't he, talks in the Sermon on the Mount about not worrying about anything and see the birds of the field. And it's exactly like that. The birds in the fields are exactly like that. It's to be totally free. It needs expression. And the expression, for me, is the revelation of it. So how do we express grace? How do we function as people who are full of grace? It's by having a revelation of it. It's almost like you can't explain it, if you like. It's like the difference between standing in the shade and standing in the sun. You just feel different. You feel different. During the slave trade, or when the slave trade was abolished in America, and Abraham Lincoln, you know, read out the Emancipation Proclamation for the freedom of slaves, the slaves were freed in a moment. So they were free to leave the places where they worked. But you can imagine a family, those families that managed to stay together anyway under slavery. You can imagine the little ones, and these people had nothing, right? I mean, a lot of the kids were naked most of the time. They were never properly clothed. So they were free, but nowhere to live, no means of any income, hated by people around them, no source of sustenance, no food to get a hold of, you're not knowing exactly where to get water from because everything was owned by people around them, so they were in danger. They couldn't just go and get something, they'd have been in danger of their lives. They couldn't trespass, that was a deadly thing to do for a slave. If you trespassed, you could be killed immediately for it, for no reason, and no protection. So understandably, some of them thought, Let's go back to our slave owner and beg him that we can work for him. And the slave owners were like, yeah, sure. In return for your work, your labours, you can have somewhere to live and somewhere to eat and protection and all. But it was exactly the same. Exactly the same. Same place, same master, same control, same harsh conditions. The only difference was, before they were slaves, and now they're not. But in practice, they were still slaves. And when we cross over from death to life, we are separate from our old life. Let me just read to you what it says in Ephesians. Is it Ephesians? Ephesians 2, yeah. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10 says this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdoms of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. So, there's more to come. He will show us the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So we need to live in this grace. We did live like that, but we don't anymore. So it's like, you know, if you saved and then you go back into your old ways of thinking and doing, you're just going straight back into slavery, and that's not grace. That's not where God wants us to be. You know, there's more for us. You know, as I read this, it's lovely that, you know, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. So the longer we walk with God, the more we'll see his grace, more and more and more, and ultimately understand the full expression of his grace when we go to heaven. You know, there's this idea that if we're filled with grace, we have like a positive yes mentality to everything that's going on, a positive, you know, like the glass half empty. Marion said to me the other day, she said, is it pessimism, the glass half empty or half full? We were talking. I said, well, that's interesting. Think about it. I said, well, the positive side, if it's half full, it means you're on the process of filling it up. It's going up. And if it's half empty, it means it's in the process of emptying out. And there's kind of it's the same thing, but slightly different. But we need to be positive about our relationship with God and positive about the things that he's doing, positive about the things that are happening in our life, even though for us it might seem like things aren't going according to plan, and not to be, not to sort of think of it as a no. Charles Swindle in this book, The Grace Awakening, talks about, you know, people that are full of grace have a yes face, and people that aren't have a no face. It's interesting. So it's like, if you talk to people when they come in, oh, did you, you know, someone's in here for the first time, did you enjoy yourself today? Not really. I was telling Darren, somebody came in a few weeks ago, and I said, oh, did you enjoy it? He said, well, you've got a couple of doctrinal issues here. I'm like, oh, right, okay. I said, well, don't you worry about that. He said, no, you've got two serious doctrinal issues. Is that grace? No, that's a no face, isn't it? No, it's thanks for inviting me, but I am determined not to enjoy myself. It's a no face. And then people that are much more positive about it. He says, he tells us this little story about it's President Thomas Jefferson, who was on horseback in America with a group of friends. They were heading off somewhere, and they had to cross a river, and the river was badly swollen, and it was dangerous to get across. It burst its banks. The ferry they were going to use, you know, it couldn't be used. So they had to cross individually on horseback, and they thought, well, we won't all go across together in case it's really dangerous. We'll go across one at a time. So this other guy comes to the river who's not part of the party, and he watches them crossing the river one at a time, making it across. And then this stranger says to the president, can you give me a lift across? The president says, yeah, jump on. So he jumps on, he gets him across the river. And when they got off at the other side onto dry ground, the people with the president said to this guy, why did you ask the president for a lift? And he said, oh, I didn't know it was the president. I didn't realize. He said, but why did you ask him? He said, well, because some of you had no faces, but he had a yes face. He was like positive about, you know, succeeding and getting across. You know, people that are full of grace are positive. God has a yes face towards you and towards me. You know, whatever I'm doing, it's a yes. Whereas even for myself, sometimes it might be a no, feeling negative. But God's always yes and encouraging. I know Martin always tells a story about, you know, when your kids paint a picture and they say what it is. Oh, it's a tree, or it's you, Mum, or it's you, Dad. And it just looks like nothing, doesn't it? And you say, that's awesome. Stick it on the fridge. It's upside down. Oh, right, okay. You know, it's that kind of approach. It's a wonderful thing. Let me just read you this awesome story. Same book. For me, this is just such an awesome picture of God. There was a prominent 19th century artist called Edward Burne Jones, actually Sir Edward Burne Jones, and he went to tea at the home of his daughter, and as a special treat, the little granddaughter was allowed to sit at the table with them. But she misbehaved, and her mother made her stand in the corner and face the wall. There was one corner in the room that didn't have furniture in it, and she was made to stand in that corner. And it says, Sir Edward, a well-trained grandfather, did not interfere with his grandchild's training. But the next morning, he arrived at his daughter's home with paints and palette. He went to the wall where the little girl had been forced to stand, and there he painted pictures, a kitten chasing its tail, lambs in a field, goldfish swimming. He decorated the wall on both sides of that corner with paintings for his granddaughter's delight. If she had to stand in the corner again, at least she would have something good to look at. And I just think it's a beautiful picture. I just think that is so like God, that he's just, you know, even when we misbehave, if you like, even when we punish ourselves, we make ourselves stand in the corner, that God's heart towards us is like that granddad, that he'd think of his little granddaughter. Absolutely awesome. That's all I wanted to share about grace today, just short, because I think it's something that there's so much to it. And for me, just sort of preparing this over the last few days, you know, and thinking, God, I thought I really got this. I thought I really understood grace. But the more I've looked into it, I'm thinking there's loads more that I need to know. I need to keep reading about grace and understanding more of it. And I just wanted to sort of hopefully give you a little bit of, you know, convince you of that, that there's so much more for us that God has, for us to be more positive, to see God like that granddad, that he has more for us, and to be gracious towards other people, that we have grace for all things, that we could be having a bad day, but we have a yes face because we're full of God's grace, even if everybody's against us. Okay, so we're going to have a little activation now, and which includes us praying for people. I want you to just meditate on the cross, either looking at the cross up there or just thinking about it. I don't want you to write anything down. I want you to ask God to give you a revelation of grace. We had a massive conversation the other, was it last week? We were talking about, like, what is grace? Okay, so we had this big discussion about how would you describe grace, and spent ages talking about it. When we think on particular things, God speaks to us. We give him space to speak to us. He'll do that. I was reading about with the underground church in China, and one particular group, it was asked by somebody, do you need Bibles? And they said, no, we don't need Bibles. It's very dangerous for us to have Bibles. We get caught with a Bible, we're in serious trouble. What we need is, we need some verses written on little bits of paper. And this guy said, well, what do you do with that? He said, well, what we do is we write one verse on a little piece of paper, and we give it to one of the people in the sort of house group, in the house church. And he takes that piece of paper with that scripture on it, and he takes it all through his week when he's working in the rice fields and stuff like that. He takes it with him. He looks at it every day. He memorizes it. He asks God to speak to him. He asks the Holy Spirit to speak to him about what it means. And then when he goes back to the group the following week, he teaches them what the Holy Spirit has taught him about that verse. Then he gives the verse to the next person, and that person takes the same verse, and they take it for a week. And they ask God to speak to them about that verse, and then they come back and teach the whole group what they've learned from that verse. Then he comes back and he gives that same scripture to another person. They do that until they've all done that one scripture. It's just awesome. And God's, you know, wants to speak to us. So I thought about things like, you know, if I explain in the cross in terms of things like I said, you know, salvation, redemption, justification, forgiveness, things like that. That's not so difficult for us. But if somebody said to you, explain grace to me based on what Jesus did on the cross, what would you say to them? How would you explain grace? So I just want you to, you know, using the cross, how would you explain grace? So if you've just found somewhere on your own and just ask God to speak to you, and don't write anything down, just let him speak to you. Let him give you a picture of something. Maybe think about that, you know, the picture that I had about the hedge, the law is, you know, death row and the Grace's hedgerow. You know, think about something like that. Ask God to speak to you and give you a picture of something specific to you to understand. And then what we'll do is, and when you're ready, we'll ask you to come out, or you can come out, and Marion and Martin and I'll pray for you and give you some prophetic words and stuff. Okie dokie. Thank you very much.